Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
After weeks of delays,
it's back to school for New York City public school students, but most will be learning remotely. I'm Marla Diamond on the Upper West Side.
Underground, some progress for the MTA.
A train back in service after Sunday's sabotage and derailment.
We have significant damage to the track bed and the track components.
I'm Sean Adams on West 14th Street.
On Capitol Hill, a political battle awaits as Republicans push to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg 42 days before the election. And in sports,
Saquon Barkley is likely torn ACL.
Barkley now has to be helped off the field.
And the Yankees clinch a playoff spot as their 10-game winning streak ends. This is Brad Heller.
It's Monday, September 21st.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup. A deeper dive into the stories you need to start your day with fewer commercials.
And good morning, I'm Kevin Rincon, in for Wayne Cabot, making a substitute appearance, if you will, fittingly on what is the first day of school for thousands of kids here in the city. Classes were supposed to start earlier this month. The Department of Education needed time to bring in more teachers. For those who opted into the all-remote learning, they start today, with a few going back in person. The youngest among the students, we're joined by our Marla Diamond. Marla, we've talked a lot about going back, so what will today actually look like for everyone?
Well, Kevin, pre-kindergarten and District 75 students will head back to the classrooms when the school bell rings this morning. We're outside the Mickey Mantle School for Special Needs Students on the Upper West Side, where teachers will welcome students back for the first time since March when the pandemic hit the city hard. The vast majority of instruction for the city's 1.1 million school children will remain online.
And we are a week away from seeing a much larger chunk of students returning in person. Is there a chance we see another delay, another holdup?
It could very well happen. This delay gives elementary schools until the 29th of September and middle and high school students until October 1st to return to hybrid or blended learning, where students go into the schools for 1 to 3 days a week with social distancing and small groups. But there are many schools where teachers complained of poor ventilation, lack of PPE, and dirty buildings, refusing to go into the buildings. And the principals union says they need 10,000 additional teachers to pull off in-person classes. Mayor de Blasio's current commitment for hiring 4,500 new teachers falls far short of that request. Kevin?
That's our Marla Diamond. Some colleges in the area getting a failing grade when it comes to keeping their communities informed about the COVID situation on its campus. Fordham, Princeton, Johns Hopkins. The group giving out those grades, looking at how well schools are self-reporting. More on that with our Mac Rosenberg.
More and more schools are creating COVID dashboards, but not all of them are doing it the right way. That's one of the findings of the website We Rate COVID Dashboards. The goal, says co-founder Yale health professor Howard Foreman, is transparency.
We're not looking to punish anybody or shame anybody. We're looking for every institution to look at their own dashboard, compare it to others.
Some of the criteria include how easy the site is to read, how often data is updated, and what data is presented.
Whether they're giving us the number of tests, not just the number of positive results, so you can see what the positivity rate is, whether they tell us what the status on campus is at a given point in time, because that can be important as well. And then things like, how long does it take for a result to come back on average on campus? Because all of these things are very important.
He doesn't note any particular trends, but does say that schools have been coming back to him for feedback on how to make their dashboards better. Mac Rosenberg, WCBS News Radio 880.
Stony Brook earned an A, as did Colgate, Vassar, Cornell, Brown, and Harvard, to name a few. The entire SUNY system got a B+, as did Columbia and NYU. Well, students are going back to school, not just in the city, but throughout the area. And that means more business. Our Joe Connolly with us this morning. Joe, business, not just outside of Manhattan, has been doing a lot better than in Manhattan.
Morning, Kevin. Yes. The Wall Street Journal says business in Morris Park, Jackson Heights, Newdorp, and other areas that never relied much on office workers or tourists is almost normal, sometimes even better, because the residents of the neighborhood are not going into Manhattan. And people who bought lunch and got their hair cut near their office in Manhattan are now spending closer to home. But foot traffic is still down by about half in Union Square and the Financial District. The owner of Conti's Pastry Shop in Morris Park in the Bronx says business was excellent all summer because people weren't going away. The increase in business in his shop almost offset the losses in his wholesale business. But Joe Brunetto of MTC Limousine says it's very frustrating to hear business is good for some other industries. He'd love to be at even half his former business. But the owner of the pastry shop in the Bronx says, despite everything, if your kid is turning 3 years old, you're still going to get them a birthday cake. Cake sales have tripled from a year ago, Kevin.
That's always a good time to eat cake. That's our Joe Connolly. Now, another sign that it's not quite back to normal in the city, that is mass transit, not at full capacity. So it could have been a lot worse when an A train derailed in the West Village yesterday. Luckily, the train itself wasn't as packed as it would be pre-pandemic. Our Sean Adams with us this morning at the station at 14th and 8th where this happened. Sean, this wasn't necessarily an accident.
No, it was deliberate. It was sabotage. The good news, though, the A-train back in action. Repairs complete. The derailment at the 14th Street station left quite a mess. Here's Frank Jezicki with New York City Transit.
When it derailed, two wheel sets from the lead car derailed to the west of the running rails. We have significant damage to the train car itself.
Now, this happened because a man put metal clamps on the track. As the northbound A train entered the station, it jumped the track, damaged the third rail, and then scraped up against several vertical steel I-beam columns. Those supports are crimped. 134 passengers on board, no serious injuries. Police arrested 30-year-old Demetrius Harvard from the Bronx. They're not quite sure what motivated him to sabotage a subway train, but he does have a record, about a dozen other minor arrests. Live on West 14th Street, Sean Adams, WCBS News Radio 880.
Now in the morning news roundup, the WCBS forecast, Chief Meteorologist Craig Allen. Chilly, it's still technically summer.
That's right. Yes, it is. At least until tomorrow at 9:30, 9:31, I believe. 51 right now in the city, and 30s, fall-like 30s out there in many of the distant suburbs, and a frosty start to the day, too, because the wind is very light. And so we've got a cold start now, and believe it or not, it warms up just as fall begins. So sunshine for today. It's still below average at only 65, should be about 73, 74. Low tonight near 50 again in the city, and as cold as 36 to 42 again in some suburbs with scattered frost. Tomorrow, sunny and turning milder. We get back up to around 70, and believe it or not, Wednesday and Thursday, a little warm, high 75 to 80 for both those days. It's 51 right now, humidity 50%, and a northerly breeze up to 8 miles per hour.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
This morning, still plenty of reaction following the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was nominated to the high court by former President Bill Clinton. He made that decision back in 1993. He talked about it on CBS's Face the Nation.
Before she ever even went on the Court of Appeals, she'd done enough to shape American law for a generation. Then I read her Court of Appeals decisions, and I really was intrigued. So I invited her to the White House to come talk to me. And she came on a Sunday night, and we weren't interrupted. And after she'd been there about 10 minutes, I just knew that I wanted to appoint her, because I wanted somebody who was open-minded, passionately committed to equality, and capable of working in the setting of the Supreme Court. I figured of all the people I'd met, she had the best judgment on when to work with others whenever she could and when to stand up when she couldn't stand it anymore.
Mr. Clinton also called her an astonishing human being and said she turned out to be even better than I thought. Funeral plans for Ginsburg are still being finalized. At the moment, it's reported she'll lie in repose at the Supreme Court as early as tomorrow. That'll be followed by some sort of public viewing, which of course will require plenty of planning to ensure social distancing and other health guidelines are followed, with a burial at Arlington National Cemetery expected towards the end of this week. It's the same cemetery where her husband, Martin, was laid to rest some 10 years ago. And as you'd imagine, the political fight to replace Ginsburg already well underway. We'll take a closer look at that in a few minutes here on the Morning News Roundup. But first, a look back at what was a pretty brutal day for local sports. Here's Brad Heller.
Yeah, Kevin, it really was. Good morning. But give the Giants credit. You know, they lost Saquon Barkley to a likely torn ACL. They were getting shut out in the first half of Chicago, but Joe Judge's team made a game of it, coming up just 10 yards short against the Bears. The final score was 17-13.
We came out at halftime. We said we're going to find a lot out about the team we are. You know, you're down 17-0. What kind of team we're going to have? It's never about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to it. I like the way our guys responded.
The game ending on an offensive pass interference penalty in the end zone. Nothing official yet on Barkley. He's going to undergo more tests today, but he is expected to miss the rest of the season. The Giants are 0-2 for the fourth year in a row. The Jets are also 0-2. They were blown out by the Niners at MetLife Stadium 31-13. Their only touchdown coming in the final 90 seconds. While the Niners scored on their first play from scrimmage, an 80-yard run by Raheem Mostert, who later left with a knee injury. The Niners losing two running backs, two defensive linemen, and their quarterback to injuries. They complained about the MetLife turf, which they have to play on again next weekend against the Giants. Fantastic finish to the Sunday night game in Seattle.
Cam takes the snap. He'll keep it. Running left side. Dives, and he's tripped up shy of the goal line. It's over. The Seahawks will hang on and win.
35-30 over the Patriots. Ryan Radke had the call on Westwood One. The Yankees are going to the playoffs for the fourth straight year, even though their 10-game winning streak ended with a 10-2 loss to the Red Sox at Fenway. They got the help they needed with a Mariners loss. The Mets need three teams to lose a bunch over the final week of the season because they're 2.5 games out of the final playoff spot after getting shut out by the Braves at Citi Field 7-0. Bryson DeChambeau winning the U.S. Open at Wingfoot by 6 shots. His final round 67, the only score under par yesterday. Brad Heller, WCBS 880 Sports.
We're sponsored by Dell. Dell Technologies advisors are focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Good Monday morning. I'm Kevin Rincon in for Wayne Cabot here on the Morning News Roundup with your three things to know. One, it's the first day of school for kids in the city, for those who opted for remote-only learning. 3K, pre-K, and District 75 schools reopening today to in-person learning. K through 5, K through 8 schools reopen next week. Two, the A train back up and running after it was derailed yesterday. The MTA says someone threw debris on the tracks, causing two sets of wheels to come off the tracks at the 14th Street stop in the West Village. Three people suffered minor injuries. Police arrested a 30-year-old Bronx man who's now facing multiple charges. And three, signs of life. Traffic into the city has returned almost to pre-pandemic levels. And because of that, the Port Authority has reopened the exclusive bus lane at the Lincoln Tunnel today. It had been closed since March when traffic dropped by more than 60%. More now on what will be a very bitter battle over the Supreme Court vacancy following the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg 4 years ago when Justice Antonin Scalia died. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that seat would be filled by the next president, blocking then-President Obama's nominee Merrick Garland from ever even getting a hearing. But McConnell, now with a Republican at the White House, says he will hold a vote on President Trump's pick, a nominee who will likely be named this week. CBS's Laura Podesta says, unlike last time, we are much, much closer to the election.
A Reuters Ipsos poll found 62% of Americans believe the next president should fill the vacancy.
Let the people speak. Cool the flames that have been engulfing our country.
So far, two Republican senators say they oppose a nomination this close to the election. At least two more would have to join them to block a confirmation.
Those two, by the way, Maine's Susan Collins and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's already warned that if Republicans confirm a Supreme Court justice, the gloves are essentially off should Democrats regain control of that chamber. His message:
it is only right and it is only fair for us to abide by RBG's last wish.
Ginsburg told her granddaughter days before her death her most fervent wish was to not be replaced until a new president is installed. The other chamber in Washington, the House, is already controlled by Democrats. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had this warning for Senator McConnell.
We need to tell him that he is playing with fire.
The House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says they have ways to try and delay a confirmation vote should the president and Republicans try to do it during a lame duck session, which would happen after the election. Make sure to stay with us for more on this political battle throughout the day, and make sure to stay with us throughout the day as we follow the first day of school for some, at least here in the city. And you can download our daily morning news roundup podcast. Search for it wherever you get your podcast. Type in WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup and subscribe today.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup, a daily download of the news you need to start your day. On air, on radio.com, and delivered to your phone and computer for on-demand listening.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.